Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Open your Bibles this morning to the book of Malachi, chapter 3. Malachi is the very last book of the Old Testament. If you know where Matthew is, the first book of the New Testament, find Matthew and then just flip a few pages back to the book of Malachi, and we're going to be starting in verse 7. Read a story one time about a missionary in Africa who was inside of his hut when all of a sudden he heard a knock at the door of his hut, and he went out to answer the door, and he found one of the native boys holding a large fish in his hands, and the boy said, "Reverend, you taught us that about tithing, so I brought you my tithe." And the missionary, he was just really excited that this young man was catching hold of some of the principles of stewardship, and he gratefully took the fish, and he said, he noticed there were no other fish, and he said, "Well, if this is your tithe, where are the other nine?" And the little boy says, "Oh, I'm going back to the river to catch them now." You talk about faith. You see, that's honoring God with your first fruits. It's like what Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9, "Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase." When Israel had the harvest, the very first fruits of the harvest, they came and gave to God before everything else was ready. It was a sign of trust and saying, "Okay, God, I'm going to give to you first, and then I'm going to believe you're providing everything else for me." And this morning, as we are talking about it's a joy to give, we're going to talk about this principle of putting God first in our finances, especially in the area of tithing. And some of you might say, "Well, what is the tithe?" Because for me, I grew up in a church that I'd never heard the word tithe. And when we started going to a different church, a church that talked about being born again and knowing Christ, they talked about tithes, and for all I knew, it was just like the necktie, like the little boy that wore around his neck. I had no idea what tithes were. Go ahead and take out your message notes this morning. Also, inside of the notes is the homework that we use for life groups. So if you are in one of the life groups, make sure that you answer the questions, you dig into the Bible study, and bring it to your life group completed. That will help you grow in your faith, grow in relationship with Jesus. And on our notes, it says there that tithing is giving the first 10% of my income to the Lord through my local church. It's giving the first 10% of my income to the Lord through my local church. And so to make that practical, that means if you make minimum wage, if you make $290 a week, then your tithe for the week is how much? $29. That's right. At the end of a year's time, you will have given $1,508 in your tithe, and you will keep $13,572. If you make more than that, let's say you make $2,000 a week. Some of you maybe make that, some of you make more, many of you maybe make less, but let's say you give $2,000. That means your tithe per week is how much? $200. It would be $10,400 a year, and you get to keep, listen to this, $93,600. You get to keep that much. How many are glad God didn't say, "I want you to give 90% and keep 10? How many are glad God said only give 10th, huh? I only see about 6 people. The rest of you got to give 90. No, I'm kidding. And for those of us who are here today, and you're brand new, this is your first time at Casper Faith, we're so glad you're here. We welcome you, but I want you to know, as we talk about tithing, we do not expect you to give 10% of your income to our church, okay? Because the concept of tithing, it talks about where your local church is, where your home church is, the church that you regularly attend, that's where you return the tithe to. So if this is not your home church, then you get a pass on that, okay? If you have a church, that's where you should give the tithe. So I just want to make that clear that you don't think we're asking you for your tithe today. But some of you might say, Craig, why are you teaching on giving? Why are you talking about money? And the reason is because God talks a lot about money. Money is the main subject of nearly half of the parables that Jesus told. One out of every seven verses in the New Testament deals with money. The Bible offers 500 verses on prayer, fewer than 500 verses on faith, but more than 2,000 verses when it comes to money. 15% of everything Jesus ever taught was on the topic of money and possessions. That's more than his teachings on heaven and hell combined. You see, God focuses a lot on money, on wealth and possessions, and the reason is because what we learned about last week, about where your treasure is, your heart will be also. You see, your checkbook is like the needle that points north. Your checkbook, it shows what direction you're going. What you spend your money on, that's the direction of your heart, that's the direction of your life. God knows that out of the abundance of the heart that we give, that's where our money goes. So that's why we're taking this time to talk about finances, because our finances are really a reflection of our heart. Now, I realize this will probably be the quietest message of the entire year, okay? Whenever you speak about money, especially tithing, it's amazing how quiet things get. There's very few amens. It's very silent. I don't know what it is, but people just get quiet when we just talk about money. So if you want to amen today, you can amen, okay? Amen. Okay, we got a couple there. I want to share with you today four reasons that it's a joy to tithe. Like that little boy giving his fish. He did it joyfully. He did it gladly. He was so excited to do that. By the way, before I get into that this morning, I see Jackie Darnell. She's back with us. And Valerie Leisher and their family, Savannah. And it's good to have you here today. Don's funeral was yesterday. And we're so sorry about your loss. We're praying for you guys. And it's good to have you with us. God bless you. Keep that family in prayer today. Okay, reason number one. If you got your notes, get your pens out, your pencils, get ready to roll. Reason number one why it's a joy to tithe is the first, I love to obey God. I love to obey God, and that's why it's a joy to tithe. God asks us to return the tithe, not give it, but return it because it belongs to him. When I return something to someone, I'm giving back to them what is theirs. And so we don't give our tithe, we return our tithe. And we read this in Malachi chapter 3, verses 7 to 10. It says, "Yet from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts." We see here that God's people had stopped obeying him. They'd stopped following him, stopped pursuing them, and God is inviting them to return back to him. And the people ask, how do we do that? It says, "But you said, in what way shall we return?" Verse 8, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse." God is saying here, if you are tithing, then you're obeying. If you're not tithing, then you're disobeying. And he says, return to me, start tithing. Now you might ask, well, Craig, didn't that concept originate in the Old Testament law, the part of the law that Jesus came to fulfill and ultimately abolish? That's a good question if you're asking that today. But here's a good answer. Tithing actually started 400 years before Moses and the law ever came on the scene. The first person to do it was Abraham. You might want to write this down. Genesis 14, 20. You can read about Abraham who returned the tithe. He gave it to the priest of God, to Melchizedek, the priest in Salem or Jerusalem. We also see Jacob tithing in Genesis 28, verse 22. Both of these individuals were tithing hundreds of years before the law ever came along. It's just that God knew what a great concept the tithe was. He says, you know what, when I'm giving the law, I want to include it in there. So tithing is something that's really supersedes the laws outside of the law. It's a principle. That's the first answer to that question. Tithing existed before the law. But number two, here's a second reason why we should tithe. Jesus told us to tithe, okay? Matthew 23, verse 23. We have it listed there in your notes, that reference. But Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. These guys, they were jerks, okay? They were bad people, and what they would do, they were very meticulous about the tithe. When they would harvest spices, when they got spices and stuff, even the small ones, they'd count out one for God, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten for me, and they were so meticulous about the tithe. Jesus says this to them. He says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you pay tithe of a mint and anise and cumin, these very small spices, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone." You see, if Jesus wanted to do away with tithing, this was a perfect opportunity. He could have said, you know what, guys? You spend all this time counting out your tithe, even on the smallest of spices. You know what? Forget it. Don't do it. Just do what's just. Do what's merciful. Have faith in God. Don't depend on your works. That's all you need to do. But no, that's not what Jesus says. Jesus says you need to do the justice, the mercy, and the faith without leaving the tithing undone. You should tithe. And so it's Jesus himself that is telling us to tithe. And if we love God, we will obey God. That's what Jesus taught in John chapter 14, verse 20, when he said to his disciples, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me." And so that's the first reason it's a joy to tithe. I love to obey God. How many like to obey God? You like to follow him. Isn't it great? It feels good when you're obeying God. And that's the first reason it's a joy to tithe, because I'm obeying God when I do it. Reason number two, the second reason it's a joy to tithe, is that I love to see others come to God. I love to see other people come to God. When I tithe, I'm not only obeying God, but I am making it possible for others to come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. We see this in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. It says, "Bring all," say all with me, "all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house." Now, the storehouse in Bible times was the temple. It's where the Jews went to church. So in modern day terms, the storehouse would be the local church that you attend. And so when we tithe, it says you're making sure there's spiritual food in the house that you attend. There's, you see, what we do, and take a look in your notes this morning, the money that we return to the Lord through our church is used to provide opportunities for others to be saved and grow in their faith. Opportunities for us to do this missions carnival, to do the food pantry that we do every week, to have the children's ministries, the youth ministries, all the different ministries that take place in the church. When you return your tithe, when you give offerings, it's providing opportunities for people to come to faith in Christ and to grow in their faith. And notice it says, bring your tithe to the storehouse. It's not send your tithe to the storehouses. I know some people say, well, I give my tithe to that ministry and that ministry and that church and that television ministry and, you know, this. No, it's just one storehouse. And it's bring it, not send it. And so we bring our tithe to the place that we're fed, the place that we receive spiritual food. That's where we bring 10% of our income. Tithing is not like paying your taxes or paying bills. Does anyone enjoy paying your taxes? I don't see a single hand. Not even a wise guy who's trying to make it difficult for me. I don't even see anyone, you know. I hate paying taxes. I don't enjoy it. And there's a difference between tithing and paying taxes, although some Christians treat the tithe like a temple tax, and they find no joy in it. But here's the thing. When I tithe, I am making an eternal investment, one that will reap rewards that have an eternal significance. There's an acrostic in your notes this morning of the word tithe. We've got it spelled out, T-I-T-H-E-S. And what is the tithe? You can take this, you can write this down in your notes. Tithes is the investment that has eternal significance. Tithes are the investment that have eternal significance. When we return our tithe to God, we're laying up treasures in heaven, and we're enabling people, the lost, to have an opportunity to receive Christ, and we're helping the rest of the body grow in their faith. You see, if nothing came in, we wouldn't have this church, we wouldn't have this building, wouldn't have heat. How many are glad for heat this morning? Wouldn't have lights, wouldn't have pastoral team to minister to the kids and the children and all the things. We would not have a church if there was not the tithe and the offerings coming in. And it impacts people's lives. You see, yes, we buy physical things, but those physical things help us to touch people and have an eternal impact on their life. And so when I tithe, it's to see other people come to God. I don't tithe to meet a church budget. I don't tithe to earn God's favor. I don't tithe to get into heaven. How many know that paying your tithe won't get you into heaven? I don't tithe to impress God or other people or to gain God's favor. I don't tithe so that the pastor pays special attention to me. I don't tithe so that I can become a member, although that is one of the commitments of membership. I tithe so that people can come to God. I tithe, I give, so others can live. Hey, that sounds like a rap, doesn't it? Say that with me. We tithe, we give, so others can live. Say it with me. We tithe, we give, so others can live. Your turn. Louder. We tithe, because it's a groove. We give, so others can live. I mean, yeah, okay, we're not going to cut a rap element. I can see we're not going to do that here, okay? But yes, we tithe and we give so others can live, so they can know Jesus and have life eternal. That's why it's a joy to tithe. Okay, let's move on. Reason number three it's a joy to tithe is I love to live under the blessing and the protection of God. I love to live under the blessing and protection of God. We see this in Malachi chapter 3, the last part of verse 10 and verse 11. God says, try me now on this. Notice he's saying, test me. It reminds me of those old, I think it was Ever Ready, battery commercials where the guy puts the battery on his shoulder and says, knock it off, I dare you. You know, God's saying, hey, try me, just try this. But only it's a good thing that happens when you do it. He says, try me, test me in this. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. You see, they were farmers. He says, it won't destroy the fruit of your ground, nor the vine of your grape vineyards will not fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. When we tithe, God pours out his blessings. He opens the windows of heaven. I remember when Elise, our youngest daughter, was born 7 years after Michaela, our third child. Honestly, we thought we were done having kids after number three. We had Eeny, Meeny, and Miney. Okay, that was what I said. You know, when I wanted Paul, Aaron, and Michaela to come, Eeny, Meeny, Miney, and they'd come running, okay? There was no Mo, okay? But God gave us Mo, Eeny, Meeny, Miney, Mo. And I remember the past couple years before, we says, why are we keeping all this baby furniture and baby clothes around? We sold everything. everything that we could. And then when God blessed us with the lease, it's like, oh, wow, what are we going to, we should have kept that stuff. But you know what? Family members gave us their infant car seats and strollers and cribs and the swings and the, all the little things that were there, God provided for us. And I remember it was a month before she was born, before Elise was born, Rebecca and I were going through some boxes in storage, and we came across some of the cutest little girl dresses that our older daughters had worn. And I remembered back to the summer before we had a rummage sale, and these cute little dresses did not sell. And honestly, I was a little ticked at God. I mean, it was like, God, what's going on? These are the cutest dresses. They didn't sell. Why? All of a sudden, God said, Craig, I was providing for your daughter a year ago when you didn't even know that it was going to happen. God blesses us when we tithe. I've seen it time and time again in my life. As I've been faithful to God, He's been faithful to me. That doesn't mean we haven't had hardship. But the thing is, God has always brought us through and been with us. We are blessed when we tithe. Now, when we're not tithed, we lose the covering of God's protection. Up here, I have a house, a dollhouse. It's symbolic of your home, of your family, of everything that you are, your family, your home. And the thing is, when we tithe, we are protected. God says He rebukes the devourer and He puts a covering over us so that the enemy, when he attacks, it doesn't hit us, it goes around us. That's what happens when we tithe. But when we say, you know what, I'm going to stop tithing, then God removes that covering and we get attacked. The tithe provides protection. The tithe provides protection for us. I remember, this was about 20 years ago, and I was having devotions one day, and God said, Craig, do you realize you're not tithing on your health insurance? Instead of me receiving the money directly, and then I paid tithe on it, and then bought my insurance, the money was paid directly to the insurance company. And God says, Craig, you're not paying tithe on that. You know, and the amount, because insurance is expensive, it amounted to a few hundred dollars a year. But the thing is, we didn't have a lot of money, and we were tithing on everything else. But I just felt like it was so tight. And it's like I said, God, we can't afford to tithe. Well, our family began to get sick. Every 3 to 4 weeks, we're running one of the kids to the doctor's office for a cold that they just couldn't kick. Our son, Paul, was about 2 years old at the time, and what it turned out that he had stuffed pieces of a Nerf ball up his nose. I'm not sure if he did it once or if he did it 4 times. We went back to the doctor 3 times, and he got it out, piece of Nerf, and finally on the 4th time, he says, it's so deep up there, I have to do surgery, okay? And then my wife, we were helping some friends refinish their wood. It was an older house, and she got a sliver that went way in under her fingernail, couldn't get it out, had to take her to the emergency room. Just really weird stuff happening, and we're being attacked. This went on for about 9 months, and so I am praying one day, God, what's going on? Am I doing something wrong? Am I, you know, is there sin in my life? And God says, you remember 9 months ago when we talked about you tithing on your health insurance? And that's like, oh man. You know, I figured up how much we spent in extra medical bills, and it was over $1,000 more than if I had just paid the tithe. It's interesting. I started tithing on our health insurance. We got well. Yeah, still went to the doctor once in a while, but I mean, not like the onslaught we had. What had happened is that I had taken our family out from the protection of God, and He wasn't rebuking the devourer anymore. You see, I want to live under the blessing and the protection of God, and that's why it is a joy to give. Again, that doesn't mean you're never going to have any problems, okay? We will have problems, but God will see you through them. Okay, the last reason it's a joy to give is that tithing produces pleasure. Tithing produces pleasure. Malachi 3:12, all the nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Say delightful. That word, delightful, it means pleasure. God said if you tithe, your land will be filled with pleasure. And think about it. That makes sense. Because if we're obeying God, reason number one, and if we're seeing people come to God, reason number two, and we're living under the blessing and the protection of God, isn't that a delightful, pleasurable thing? Yeah. And so that's how tithing produces pleasure. And I would like the ushers, if they would come forward this morning. We're going to wrap things up today, do things a little bit differently. But the ushers, they have some handouts. Go ahead, guys. Start handing them out right now. And as they do this, they're giving you a tithing response card. We'll go over it in just a moment. And we'll wait just a little bit for everyone to get it. But for some of you, this whole thought of tithing, of starting to give 10% of your income, is a scary thing. It's not an easy thing to do. You say, how do I do it? How do I faithfully continue to do it? I know people that have started tithing and then they stop tithing. The key is that it's a matter of trust. Do you trust God? We're told in Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In your natural mind, your natural understanding, it may not make sense. I remember, for me, tithing on our health insurance did not make sense. We couldn't afford it, or so I thought. But it's not a matter of mental understanding. It's a matter of faith. We see in Proverbs chapter 11, 28, that whoever trusts in his riches will fall. I fell in that area. In our health, because I wouldn't tithe on our health insurance, but the righteous thrive like a green leaf. Proverbs 11, 24 and 25 says, one man gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous man will prosper. He refreshes others, himself will be refreshed. You see, you can't outgive God. It's a matter of trust. Do I believe that God can do more with 90% than I can do all on my own with 100%? And let me tell you, I've been a Christian for 40 years. I can say God does more with the 90 than Craig can do with the 100. Every single time. That doesn't mean that I can give the tithe and live how I want and live recklessly. No, I have to follow all of the principles on money that God has in the Bible about saving, about living within my means, not being covetous and greedy. And if I follow all of God's financial concepts and principles, then I live under His blessing.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us casperfaith@gmail.com or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.